everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, speaking with the classicist and author Daisy Dunn. Her book is The Missing Thread, a women's history of the ancient world. Cleopatra, Caesar's dead. There's another civil war on. Mark Antony is seen as a man who practiced faithfulness to Caesar's memory. Brutus, the son of Servilia, lover of Caesar, is seen as a liberator, a man who revolted from the kingship of Caesar. Remember, the kingship fell into disrepute after Lucretia many centuries before. So the Romans, we're told, have a built-in antipathy to kingship. That's why the assassination, that's why Brutus and his colleagues thought they'd be celebrated and went out to the forum and waited for people to applaud them after they murdered Caesar. Didn't work out that way. However, during the Civil War, Mark Antony travels to Egypt, and Cleopatra again makes a great entrance, this time on her barge. There are paintings done in the 19th century about these moments. Our forebears in Europe and in Daisy Dunn's Britain have celebrated all these scenes in their own way, almost as if you could say the Romans and the Greeks give us stories. And each generation and each epoch since the 2,000 or 2,500 years interprets those stories in different ways. Right now, we're coming to the story of Antony and Cleopatra. They had a love affair, and it was a doozy. Daisy, what is the opinion at the time of Antony spending all that time with Cleopatra, and who was Fulvia?
Antony's affair with Cleopatra made him really unpopular with the Roman people. It was seen to be excessive. Romans didn't like kind of what we'd say today is a PDA, a public display of affection. They didn't like that one bit. And the fact that she was in Egypt and he was spending most of his time there away from his Roman-born family was incredibly difficult for people to cope with. And Fulvia was actually his Roman-born wife. He was married sort of several times, Mark Antony, again, another womanizer of history. But Fulvia was a woman who was quite politically engaged in Rome. And one of the sort of the great moments in history, Caesar actually take action to, I'd say, to sort of promote Mark Antony in Rome. At this point, we've got Julius Caesar's died. His nephew and heir is Octavian, the future Emperor Augustus, and he's a potential rival to Mark Antony. And Fulvia can see this. And you essentially get this power play occur between Mark Antony, between Octavian, and between Fulvia. And she takes decisive action by actually stirring up a war in Mark Antony's name.
Very damaging to the Republic. I think it's in modern Perugia. Is that where it took place, the city?
Monperugia, yeah, exactly, in Italy. She and Mark Antony's brother stir up war. They get troops, and they are essentially fighting against the men that Octavian pulls together. And it culminates in a very, very bloody siege between these two opposing sides. And we have actual evidence of this because there are weapons, these kind of slingshot bullets, which have been uncovered, excavated from the ground at this particular site. And some of these, I mean, they're very, very rude. If you think about sort of the Second World War, bombs were often inscribed with messages for the enemy. Right. Same thing happened back in Roman history.
Yeah, so the Romans, I wanted to mention that. They're exceedingly vulgar by our standards here in the 21st century. At the same time, you kind of laugh afterwards going, well, they don't waste words when they're unhappy. I also thought, I wanted to mention to you, Daisy, they're incredibly fertile. Everybody gets pregnant all the time. It's
yes. Well, I think it was just like the sort of with Romans in particular, sort of looking at people who are. I mean, I'm English, so you have none of that English reserve. You don't sort of conceal your emotion. They're very open with what they think, and they're very outspoken.
Yes.
And you find this even among some of these women, which is quite surprising. These women who otherwise, as you say, are sort of there giving birth again and again and again to children, because they start so early. This is the point. I mean, a lot of these girls are being married off at the age of about 14 and then having their first babies, you know, still in their teenage years.
We come now to the end of Cleopatra and Antony. It's very famous. It happens, again, economy of scene. Octavian conquers Antony. Antony commits suicide, but not very well, because he dies slowly. And there's a reuniting with Cleopatra. There's a lot of hemming and hawing about how it happens. And he bleeds to death in front of her. And at this point, she decides to destroy herself. Why? What was her motive?
At that point, she could see there'd be no happy future for her or for her children. She tried to sort of bargain with the victor, with Octavian Augustus, tried to say, you know, please, could there be, show mercy to my children? But she has no real hope, because what Octavian Augustus wants to do is to take her alive, drag her to Rome, and just show her off as like a kind of trophy in one of these triumphal parades, which the Romans really loved. And that's the last thing she possibly want. So she sort of knows that the more honourable way out in the sort of the ancient way of thinking would be to take her own life, you know, a bit like Lucretia before her.
Yes, it's a rough scene, because Cleopatra tries out poisons. The story is that she used an asp, a snake. Who knows? Maybe she was murdered. Maybe Octavian. I don't think Octavian murdered her, but there are scenes here that are really hard to believe, Daisy. Have you ever heard anybody doubt some of these scenes? Because they're all tricked up. Between us and what happened is Shakespeare. Does that change your understanding of these scenes?
Well, I think Shakespeare handled this so marvelously. And I think when you read the original sources filtered through Shakespeare, you appreciate just how dramatic those early original accounts are. And they seem too contrived in a way to be true. I mean, it defies belief today that she would have had this basket brought in with some fruit, with asps hiding beneath, you know, and then die as a result of it. It just seems quite far-fetched. But, you know, another interpretation people have sometimes applied to this is saying, well, maybe the asp story was invented because there were some puncture marks on her arm, and maybe it was a kind of lethal injection instead. And I think when you read about it in that way, and you consider that as a possibility, that seems slightly more credible.
Is it significant that the Romans seem to like suicide for the end for women? I know we've already named two of them, Lucretia and Dido, and now we have Cleopatra. Was that their understanding of drama? It's not really important unless she kills herself?
I think, I mean, suicide takes on importance both for men and for women, and it's seen in certain situations to be a better cause. I mean, the whole sort of philosophy, we talk about Stoicism today. Stoicism's enjoyed a bit of a kind of revival, but ancient Stoicism is quite different. And you get sort of a lot of Stoic figures basically arguing that, as one of them puts it, if a room becomes too smoky, it's better to take the easier way out, by which he means take your own life. And there was a kind of respect, I think, for some of those people who did that. And this is very difficult because our views of suicide are so different today. The ancient mindset is very, very different here from our own. So I want to be careful here talking about this. But in Cleopatra's case, certainly her suicide was a cause of frustration to the Romans. You know, there might have been some admiration for her bravery and surprise, perhaps, at that moment. But it was ultimately for the victorious Roman Octavian Augustus, it was incredibly frustrating because he didn't get his life trophy.
The Julian Claudians begin with Octavian. And when we come back, Augustus. The book is The Missing Thread, A Women's History of the Ancient World. Daisy Dunn is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.